Hi, good morning. Thanks for showing up here this morning. So I'm going to be presenting data from a project I worked on with one of my advisors, Dr. Guadalupe Ayala, over at San Diego State University in California. And it's it was a project to design a novel within-store food environment audit instrument with a particular focus on Latinos in California. No disclosures to present. I made a rookie mistake of preparing too much information, so I'm going to fly through this. We're all aware of the problem. There's of the issue of individuals' ability to follow a healthy dietary pattern can be greatly influenced by the food they have access to. Likewise, it can be influenced by overexposure to energy-dense or unhealthy foods. And this can be concerning for residents of lower-income communities. And unfortunately, all too often, lower-income communities are also communities with a high minority population. It's concerning because we know the rates of health-related disorders such as overweight and obesity are much higher among these lower-income communities. For example, the rates of type 2 diabetes among Mexican-origin Latinos is twice as high as the national average. So I'm looking to previous studies that have looked at food environments within lower-income communities by ethnicity. We had some limitations because, well, first off, we know there's great regional variation in ethnicity over, Latino ethnicity in the United States. In the United States, 16% of adults are Latino or Hispanic, goes up to over a third in California, and up to 58% in southern San Diego, where the region we're focusing in on. Additionally, in California, over 90% of Latinos are Mexican origin. Previous studies have also lacked clarity on how they've defined ethnic markets and how they've categorized them in terms of other supermarkets. And this is concerning for Latinos in California because of the role of tiendas. So if you're not familiar with tiendas, it's a small, medium-sized, full-service grocery store with a particular focus on Latinos. They play a great role in the community. There's a great sense of pride between customers and employees of tiendas. So to really understand the food environments of Latinos in California, you really need to understand tiendas. Then the goal of the study is to develop this new within-store audit instrument, which would be sensitive to the characteristics of tiendas. To develop the instrument, content was taken from previous experience with tiendas from North Carolina and San Diego region. For example, some of the items included on the audit form were taken from 24-hour dietary recall data from Latinos living in the same San Diego area. And also the form was pilot tested to work out any kinks during the development. The form itself, the instrument itself, covers seven different domains considering characteristics, store characteristics, employee customer characteristics, and also the availability of 10 different product categories. So cutting right to the chase, or how do you identify tiendas? So observers were instructed, observer is the person who's going into the store and filling out the instrument. They were instructed to reference these three data points to identify a tienda versus a general ethnicity grocery store. So store name, was it in Spanish or English? The language mostly spoken between employees and customers, mostly Spanish, English, or a mix. And also the language of the signage, same, English, Spanish, or a mix. And it's important to note, previous studies also have just based ethnicity on store name. So this adds a little bit more detail. So those data points were taken from the store characteristics. Now I'm going to discuss just a sample of the product availability, the products that were audited. And the ones I'm going to highlight are ones that relate to two research questions we had. So the two questions were, one, availability of healthy foods, and two, exposure to unhealthy foods. So in looking to the literature, availability of healthy foods is really measured or estimated by produce, low-fat dairy, and low-fat beef, because we know these were some of the disparities are in in lower-income stores, communities. So for fresh produce, the form included 15 fresh fruits and 20 fresh vegetables. They were audited on the availability in a 3-point quality rating scale. Observers were trained in how to use the scale, and also price per standard unit. Milk, three varieties of milk were looked at, whole 2% low-fat skim milk, availability and price per gallon. And likewise for ground beef, three varieties of beef were looked at, 30%, 15%, and 7% fat, availability and price. And it's important to note for this instrument, all products audited, just the regular price was recorded and no sales prices were recorded. Also, observers did not interact with customers or managers during the process, so availability of the product was just based on what they saw in the store. Those are the items for the healthy foods. Now exposure to unhealthy foods. This was measured in a couple different ways. One, the number of aisles or fractions of aisles dedicated to candy, soda, or snack foods. And again, these were defined in the protocol and during the training. Also, we looked at the number of exposure points of end caps. So end caps are those you know, big displays at the end of aisles of product. Also temporary displays such as islands, coolers, or racks, which may have contained soda or ice cream. And the concept here is that each one of these temporary displays represents another opportunity for a customer to kind of bump into this product. So it might kind of, you know, chip at their willpower every time they see it. Okay, great. In order for this instrument to be useful, however, in a research setting, it has to be easy to use, and it has to have strong psychometric properties. So to address these questions, the form was used to audit 25 stores as part of an ancillary study for Aventuras para Niños. This study was conducted in southern San Diego, and it was a childhood obesity study. So children were enrolled along with one parent, and at baseline, the parent was asked to write down the name and address of the store or the food outlet that was the primary source of household groceries. So 2 years later, funding was received to conduct these audits, and after a lengthy verification process, we came up with 25 stores. So it was 25 stores as a primary source of groceries for over 500 families in this study. All the stores were in the southern San Diego region, encircled with that, you know, that red circle area. So you can see it's right on the border with Mexico. I mentioned this is a highly minority region, highly Latino, 58% Latino. Also, the median income of this region is $33,000. So it's a lower income metro region. Also, while this was not planned a priori, after all the store audits were completed, it was found out that 10 fit the classification of a tienda and 15 fit the classification of a general ethnicity supermarket per industry standards. So for each store, 3 observers audited each store. They were trained, they had the protocol in hand. IRB approval was granted for completing the store audits, but like I said, they didn't interact with employees or managers, but they did have printed information, including a letter that they could provide to somebody if they were confronted and asked about what they were doing in the store. Overall, the observers said the audits were fine, and when they were approached by employees or managers, they were very helpful. Time to complete the audit, 60 minutes in tiendas, 80 minutes in the supermarkets. And we didn't collect square footage of each store, so we're using store aisles to guesstimate the store size. Tiendas had a median of 5 aisles and 3 checkout stations, and supermarkets had a median of 12 aisles and 8 checkout stations. So it's pretty easy to use the instrument. Training was required, but a protocol is available. Moving on to reliability, we found actually the form to be very reliable. So across all, so there are 3 observers, which is interesting because most studies just have 2. Across all data points and the 3 observers over the 25 stores, there was an average 87% agreement over all the observers. And in this instance, most people may hear like kappa values in terms of inner rate of reliability, but in this instance, kappa values aren't valid because of the way the data is. There's a high amount of agreement, and I can talk about that later if you'd like. Across the items, looking at the healthy items, or fresh produce, dairy, and beef, the 3 observers agreed 74% of the time. I'm sorry, for 74% of the items, they agreed 100% of the time. And then for the unhealthy items, they agreed 84% of it. For 84% of the unhealthy items, they agreed 100%. So it's pretty reliable. One limitation is we don't have repeat measures for the same store. In terms of validity, we consider this instrument to have high face validity. Like I said, the design of the instrument was informed by previous experience with tiendas and also selection of the food items from the dietary recall data. And also there's high face validity in terms of all the observers agreed 100% on what stores met the criteria for tiendas. And again, I think this just speaks to the importance of understanding what your subject is, in this case the tienda, the store, when you're designing this instrument. Because you had a clear form with clear training and a clear protocol, it was easy to fill out and it results in high reliability and face validity. Okay, last 2 slides, how to use this type of information. So I'm going to present quick results on the 2 research questions. 1, access to healthy food items. So we had this opportunity to compare access by tiendas and supermarkets. And I don't remember if I'd mentioned this, but this is very important in San Diego because Latinos with lower acculturation rates are more likely to shop at tiendas. And as they become more acculturated to Western society, they're going to shop more in supermarkets. So understanding that any differences in availability by these 2 types of markets can be important to understanding differences, say, for lower acculturated Latinos, differences in access. So the findings, contrary to previous studies looking at smaller grocery stores versus supermarkets, the availability and the quality of produce was equal for tiendas and supermarkets, no difference. One difference was price. The produce was less expensive in the tiendas than the supermarkets. And we actually did compute the cost to meet the recommended servings of fruits and vegetables based on a 2,000 calorie per day diet per week. And this data was mostly in 2006, and it was $3 cheaper in Atienda. However, in keeping with previous studies, lower fat milk and lower fat beef options were limited, and when they were available, they were more expensive. Second research question, exposure to unhealthy food products. So, not unexpectedly, the total number of exposures to soda, candy, and snack foods positively associated with store size. However, once we adjusted for store size using store aisles, it was equal. The relative exposure was equal. So we had 2.8 exposures per store aisle in tiendas versus 2.4 exposures per store aisle in supermarkets. And one really interesting point, though, was that even though this overall relative rate of exposure was the same, within stores there was differences in branding. So within the tiendas, 50% of the snack foods were a Latino or Mexican brand, versus in supermarkets, there was Latino brands were virtually absent. So it's really interesting to look at overall consistency, but then within product variation, or within store variation. Additional side point, we looked at the availability of healthier snack alternatives. So in this case, we just pulled data looking at Pepsi, like a 2-liter bottle of common soda and its diet alternative, and then potato chips. So say it's common brand Lay's potato chips, 15-ounce bag, and its baked alternative. Unfortunately, the diet soda availability of that was limited in the tiendas, and the availability of the baked potato chips was limited in tiendas. But again, another interesting point is with the exception of, I think it was two stores, the prices for these four products was exactly the same. And that was just shocking to me, I guess. Okay, so in closing, I hope this really fast overview gives an example of how it is possible to design a new within-store audit instrument that is specific to a certain ethnicity. Here we're talking about Latinos of Mexican origin in Southern California. This is a really important tool to better understand the links between availability, dietary behaviors, and health-related outcomes. Of course, this can be used to inform program development, but it's important too because the methods can be transferable to any community with any other type of ethnic makeup. Finally, the instrument is available on the NCI website for their risk measures, and my contact information is there for any questions. Thank you.